Out of the fog, out of the night, and into his American adventures comes Bulldog Drummond.
When you're in my type of business, you develop a sixth sense. It's a sort of necessary standard equipment, you might say. Because if you don't have it, you don't stay in business for long. Not my type. Let me show you what I mean. Denny and I were out for a walk along the waterfront last Tuesday. A fog blown in from the bay was dropping over the scene like a piece of gray gauze. We'd been strolling for an hour when Denny made a suggestion.
Captain Drummond, I suggest we turn in. It's fogging up quite a bit now. We may as well go home. And anyway, it is past 11 o'clock. Captain Drummond.
Hmm?
You weren't listening to me.
No, I wasn't, Denny. Sorry. What did you say?
I just said I thought it was about time we returned to the house.
We will, shortly. Perhaps.
Perhaps. What do you mean by that? There's nothing to keep us out any longer. It's turning into a rotten evening. The fog and...
I don't know, Denny. It may turn into a very interesting evening. It all depends.
Depends on what?
On him.
Him? Now, really, sir.
Or her.
Oh, really, without putting yourself to too much trouble, would you mind telling me what this mystery is all about?
I wish I knew.
Sir, are you sure you feel all right?
Well, I'm fine, Denny. You?
Well, you're carrying this thing, whatever it is, a bit too far, don't you think?
Yes, I suppose I am at that.
Well, then.
Denny, we're being followed.
What?
I think.
We're being followed?
Don't stop. Keep walking.
But there's no one behind us.
Just the same, I feel someone's behind us.
Oh, but I...
I've felt it since we crossed 3rd Street.
Now, see here, Captain Drummond, there isn't a soul nearby, either in front of or behind us.
As far as can be seen. Whoever it is, the fog is covering our pursuers' movements.
And you're sure it's a man?
Reasonably.
Now you almost had me believing it.
As they say, Denny, seeing is believing.
Yes, it most certainly is.
Very well. Those steps on that brownstone house ahead.
What about them?
We're going to duck in on the other side of those steps and see what we can believe. Come on, hurry. Let's get in there.
Now what do we do?
Shh. Not so loud.
What now?
Wait.
Frankly, sir, this is about the silliest...
Quiet, Denny.
But I...
Listen.
Footsteps. Someone's coming this way. You were right, sir.
Get set.
What are you going to do?
Have a talk with Mr. Footsteps. He might put up physical objections, so stand by in case he objects too strenuously.
Yes, sir.
All right, here he comes. Let's go.
Just a minute.
Hey, what the... Don't do it. Give me a break. Give me a break, will you?
You don't need any help, sir.
No, I can handle it myself.
Just give me a break. I swear I will...
If you want to keep that arm in one piece, don't struggle.
I am.
I told you not to struggle.
Okay, you'll make stop, will you?
Very well. Now, come on. Over to the street light there.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Now lift up your face so I can...
Drummond!
Well, imagine meeting you here.
Gee, Drummond, I didn't know it was you. I thought... Why didn't you say it was you?
You didn't ask me, Regan.
Oh, you remember me, huh? That's good.
Why, you know him, sir?
Johnny Regan. Yes, Denny, I know him.
Oh, why was he following us?
Well, Regan, you heard the question. You were following us, weren't you?
Well, sure, you bet your life I was following you, but I didn't know it was you who grabbed me. I thought it was somebody else.
Hasn't that somebody else got a name?
Names don't count. Anyway, I'm okay now. I'm caught up with you. I guess you want to know how it is, huh? Well, why I was on your tail?
Keep talking, Regan.
Well, I got out of the pen 10 days ago. Maybe you read about it, huh?
I read about it.
Yeah, good behavior. Cut my jug time by 6 months. That's me from now on, Drummond. good behavior. And that's why I tailed you. I was coming out of the Crown Bowling Grill on 3rd Street when I see you pass by. And on account of I want to keep my nose clean, I figure maybe you'll give me a hand.
A hand at what?
Walking me back to my hotel, the Maxton. It's just a couple of blocks from here. I figure you'll do that on account of nothing should happen to a guy who obeys the law. You know, a guy like me, see?
Frankly, I don't see just what bad thing could happen to you.
Well, my wife, Stella's coming from Cincinnati. She's due in New York tomorrow. I wired her, I got out of the pen, and she's coming back to me. Stella's a dame for you. She's one swell dame for you.
Yes, your affection for your wife is quite touching, Regan, but it doesn't answer my question.
Well, it's on account of Stella. I wouldn't want something should happen to me. You see, it's like this. I got an idea maybe somebody don't want I should walk around breathing air.
And just who might that somebody be?
Just somebody with the wrong idea. But I can square him on the idea later. You see, that's me from all over now. I'm on a square, and that's why I'm asking you to do me the favor. Just walk me to the Maxton Hotel. That's all you got to...
Yes, Denny.
What's wrong, sir?
Nothing. I want you to walk ahead with Regan.
Walk?
Hey, what's up?
Do as I say, both of you. I'll catch up to you in a moment. Now, hurry, get on.
Yes, sir. Come along, Regan.
Denny and Regan went on ahead. I stepped out of the lamplight into the shadows and waited. I waited for the man who was hiding in the doorway down the street. Presently, he slid out of the doorway and came along the pavement. Pardon me?
Huh?
Do you have a light?
A light? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Hey, you ain't got a smoke. You said you wanted a light.
Yes, I do, to see what you look like.
What's the idea?
You'd better flick that match out before you burn your fingers.
What is this? What do you want from me?
You know, you look rather familiar.
You got holes in your head, chum. I never seen you before in my life.
Let's see. The name, I believe, is Manchek. Whitey Manchek.
That's right. Where'd you get that from?
The identification on a rogues gallery photograph.
You better change your glasses, pal.
What do you want with Regan?
Regan? Who's Regan? Look, pal, Bellevue's just a couple of blocks up that way. Why don't you take a room there for yourself, one with padded walls?
Manchek, I'm glad I bumped into you here tonight. You never can tell, it might be a valuable reference.
Walls in his head. Big ones he's got. I tell you what, I'll meet you here tomorrow night for a game of jacks. See you in the funny papers.
Whitey Manchek walked back in the direction from which he came. I stood there for a moment, watching him fade into the fog. And then, the crack of gunshot echoed in the night. It came from up the street where Denny and Regan had walked ahead. I ran along the damp pavement as fast as I could, but the thickening fog kept my speed down. I came to the corner and started across the gutter to the other side when I almost stumbled over it. It was a body stretched out, face down, on the cobblestone street. I bent down, and then I could see that the motionless body was Denny. Now, Denny, you're sure you want to come along?
Yes, quite sure, sir.
It was a nasty crack on the head you got.
Yes, I know, but that's why I'm going with you. Johnny Regan will pay for this occipital lump he gave me.
Now, Denny, you're positive that everything happened just as you said it did?
Yes, sir. I remember distinctly hearing the gunshot. And then, as I told you, Regan started to run for it. When I tried to stop him, he administered the blow. That was exactly the way it happened.
There's the Crown Bar and Grill just ahead.
Oh, just wait until I meet Regan again.
To be perfectly frank, Denny, I can understand why Johnny Regan struck you.
Well, frankly, sir, your frankness in this case is somewhat irritating.
Denny, after all, what would you do if some killer was taking pot shots at you? Regan had to get out of there fast. You can't blame him for trying to save his life.
Yes, but why must he try to do it over my dead body?
Yes, well, you can discuss that point with Regan personally later. Come on.
I can't say I see the logic in coming to this cafe. It's a sure thing we won't find Regan here.
I don't expect to find him here, Denny. But perhaps we may be able to discover just why Regan left the Crown in such a frightened state.
What about finding Regan himself?
We'll check up on him later at his hotel, the Maxton. In the meanwhile, let's see what this place has to offer us.
I still think...
Denny.
What is it, sir?
The man at this end of the bar, the one in the gray suit. See him?
Yes, what about him?
That's Steve Regan, Johnny's brother.
I say, he certainly doesn't look too pleasant.
He's been known to be in unpleasant businesses.
Runs in the Regan family, eh?
Come on, let's have a talk with Steve. Hello, Steve. I said hello.
So you said hello, so what?
Oh, you remember me, don't you, Steve?
You're a copper.
No, you have it wrong. Criminology's only a hobby with me.
I don't like your hobby.
Well, Denny, you see how different two brothers can be. Now, take Johnny Regan. Remember how friendly and talkative he was?
Talkative? What do you mean, talkative? Where'd you see my brother?
Ah, Denny, Steve Regan is coming out of his shell.
Where'd you see Johnny? Where'd you see him?
You seem anxious about your brother.
He was supposed to be here. I just messed him. He left a message to call me here. What happened to Johnny?
I don't know.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing.
Now, look, Drummond...
You know, Steve, it may only be coincidence, but I bumped into someone else tonight who seemed to be intensely interested in Johnny, too.
What? Who are you talking about?
Whitey Mancheck.
Mancheck's around?
Where is he supposed to be?
Look, get out of my way.
What's the hurry, Steve?
Now let go. I gotta get to Johnny.
Suppose I join you.
Let go!
Not until you tell me why my mentioning Whitey upset you so.
Okay, all right. We thought Whitey was in Chicago. We got a tip along the grapevine that somebody put an idea into Whitey's head.
What kind of idea?
About Johnny. Somebody who don't like Johnny fed Whitey a line that Johnny had something on him and was ready to spill it to the cops. And that's why Whitey's here. That's why he's after Johnny. He's out to finish Johnny off.
I'll return in a moment to continue our story. On the strength of what Steve Regan told me, I called police headquarters and asked them to send out an alarm to pick up Whitey Mancheck. And then Denny, Steve Regan, and I set out to find Steve's brother, Johnny. In the Maxton Hotel, the dilapidated elevator groaned as it rose slowly up the shaftway.
But, sir, it couldn't have been Mancheck who fired the shot at Johnny Regan.
That's right, Denny. Mancheck was walking in the opposite direction when the shot was fired.
Mancheck's got his boys.
Could be that Mancheck and a henchman were closing in on both sides of the trap.
You leave it to Mancheck. Johnny isn't the first guy he pulled that squeeze on. That's the way Mancheck works it.
Steve.
Yeah?
Just what is it that your brother Johnny had on Mancheck?
I don't know. I don't know if he had anything. I told you somebody wanted Johnny out of the way. Maybe because he was going straight and they didn't trust him anymore. Yeah. Johnny has the room across the hall there.
I don't see the use in coming up here, sir. The desk clerk said Johnny hadn't come in tonight.
We'll look about anyway. Let me have the passkey, Denny.
Yes, sir. It's this one.
Oh, never mind the key, Denny. The door's unlocked.
Hey, that means somebody was in Johnny's room there.
Come on, we're going in.
I say, what a mess.
This is a strip job. A real strip job.
Strip?
Meaning, Denny, a going over none too lightly.
I got it.
Got what?
Sure. Mancheck thought Johnny had something in writing about him. He had this place stripped to find a paper.
Where does that door over there lead?
The bedroom.
I'll have a look around in there.
Answer that, Denny. Probably Inspector Kelly calling. I told him I'd be here.
Right, sir. Hello?
Long distance. Person-to-person call from Cincinnati from Mr. John Regan. Mrs. John Regan calling.
Oh, just a moment, operator. Captain Drummond.
Yes, Denny?
It's a long-distance call from Cincinnati. Mrs. Regan calling her husband.
You take the call. Hold her on the wire.
All right, sir. Yes, operator, put the call through.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Here's your potty. Hello, Johnny. Johnny, I've been trying to get you all night.
I say, will you hold on a moment?
They must have given me the wrong room. I asked for John Regan.
No, this is your husband's room, Mrs. Regan.
Well, who is this?
Well, if you'll just hold on a minute.
Where's Johnny?
We don't know.
Why, what's happened to him? Let me speak to Johnny, please. I want to speak to him.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Regan,
what's
but
going
I...
on there? Where's my husband? Let me speak to him, please.
If you'll just wait a moment.
What's the matter, Denny?
Mrs. Regan, sir, she wants to speak to her husband. What shall I tell her?
Tell her to take the first plane for New York she can book passage on.
Well, what will I give her for a reason?
Her husband is dead.
What?
Dead? What do you mean? What do you mean Johnny's dead?
Look for yourself, Steve, in the bedroom. He's trussed up in the closet. Your brother Johnny has been stabbed to death.
I just can't believe it, Captain Drummond.
Mrs. Regan, what do you know about your husband's dealings with a man named Manchek?
Manchek?
Whitey Manchek.
Manchek. Well, Johnny wasn't connected with anyone by that name, but...
Yes.
But he was. As now I remember, it was just before Johnny was sent to prison. Johnny mentioned that he was working with Manchek. Johnny was worried about his getting into trouble.
Yes, just a minute. You say he. Who are you talking about?
Johnny's brother, Steve.
Steve was connected with Manchek?
Well, that's what Johnny said. He told Steve to keep away from Manchek. But Steve wasn't the kind to listen to Johnny. Steve only used Johnny for what he could get out of him. He wasn't like a brother. Not like a real brother. I think down deep he almost hated Johnny.
Oh, pardon me. Hello? Yes, who's this?
Whitey Manchek.
Manchek?
Yeah, that's right. Look, Drummond, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about a lot of things, but especially I want to talk to you about Johnny Regan getting it. I know the cops are out for me. They picked me up this way, and I don't stand a chance. I got a deal for you, Drummond.
What sort of deal?
You'll meet me, and I'll give you the lowdown on why Johnny was killed.
Just now, I'm more interested in who killed him. No doubt you have the answer to that.
You think I did it, don't you?
You're an awfully attractive suspect, Manchek.
Okay, Drummond, I'll prove to you I didn't. I'm in a phone booth in a drugstore, corner 5th and 20th. You get here and I'll give you the lowdown. I'll give it all to you, straight. You just...
Manchek?
Corner. The double cross in the rut. Dirty...
Manchek, what happened?
Come to 5th and 20th.
Manchek! Hello. Hello, Manchek. Hello. Hello. All right, Denny. Over to the West Side Highway.
Yes, sir. Well, Captain Drummond.
Manchek is dead.
He didn't regain consciousness?
No.
Any report on the knife they found in him?
The lab's working on it now. In the meantime, perhaps I can work something out on my own.
What do you mean, sir?
It was something Manchek said before he died.
Oh, but I thought you said he never regained consciousness.
He didn't. He mumbled something in delirium.
What?
He repeated it over and over again. They pulled a double cross, Brock. When you get out, Brock, you'll get what they gave me. Look out for them, Brock. They'll give it to you.
Oh, what is that supposed to mean? Who is Brock?
Well, I did some checking up. That's what took me so long at headquarters. I think I know who Brock is. As a matter of fact, I'm sure of it. Al Brock. He's serving time in the state penitentiary now. I called the warden and found the knot that ties.
Knot?
Johnny Regan was Brock's cellmate.
Well?
And that's not all they had in common. Both Brock and Regan were previously imprisoned, both on the same charge, counterfeiting. Regan was picked up for passing bogus money, and Brock worked for a counterfeiting ring as an engraver.
They must have had a great deal in common to talk about in prison.
There's one other strange item, Denny. This one concerns Johnny Regan. He was sentenced to prison on his own confession. He gave himself up to the police. It was petty larceny. He said he wanted to pay for his crime and then go straight.
You mean you think Johnny Regan was up to something?
I think Johnny Regan was anxious to get to prison so he could be close to Brock. By the way, Denny, when you get on the West Side Highway, head north.
North? Yes, sir. Where are we going?
To prison. At least I am. The warden is making all arrangements.
What?
Yes, I'm a criminal named Ralph Mason. And I'm as anxious to get to prison as Johnny Regan was. And for the same reason, to be in close contact with Al Brock.
All right, lock him up!
How do you make out, Mason?
Looks like we're all set, Brock.
It's a good thing they bunked you in here with me, Mason. Good for me.
For both of us. I'm going to need you as much as you need me.
You're sure everything will go okay? They've got machine guns set up all around outside.
Yeah, well, I fix a break, it's as clean as a whistle. Don't you worry about them machine guns.
I'm not worried. Just so long as I get out of here. Just so long as I can get done what I've got to do.
You never told me why you want to break out, Dame.
Why?
Just to make conversation.
Let's talk about something else.
Okay, skip it.
Like I told you before, you'll read all about it in the papers.
In the papers? Headlines?
Big ones. You just get me out of here with you, Mason, and you'll see how big.
And don't you worry about getting out of here, Brock. It's all set and safe. As if the warden himself fixed it for us. You better hurry and get to them civvies, Brock.
You sure came through, Mason.
Yeah, I guess I know the right people.
Well, you sure do.
All set?
Set.
Okay, here's where we split up. You go first. Don't forget, you go the way I told you, the safe way.
Like you told me. Mason, thanks, I...
Get going, Brock, get going.
I'll see you around.
Sooner than you think.
So long, pal.
How did you go, sir?
As planned, Denny. Brock's on his way.
But what if he should slip out of our hands?
He won't get far. The police will follow his every move.
Coming. The bags are in the other room. You're gonna...
Hello, Mrs. Regan.
Al. Al Brock.
Going someplace, Stella?
Where'd you come from? I thought you...
You thought I was in the jug.
Well, I didn't know that they let you out, Al.
They didn't. I broke me and a pal.
Oh?
He was a good pal. You could depend on him. He wasn't a louse like you.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Dame that knocks off her own husband, then gives his partners the same treatment. I read about it in the paper, Stella. I read about Johnny and Whitey Manchek. I figured the rest out myself.
Al,
you and Steve Regan were going to pull a nice deal for yourselves, weren't you?
Al,
you had
I
those $10 bill plates all to yourself, the plates I sweated on up in the jug, the plates Johnny brought out with him. You and Steve were going to have yourself a great time marketing the phony bills. Johnny and Whitey were out of the way. And Al Brock... Al was put away nice and tight and stir. Yes, you're a cute couple, you two. You had a business all set up for yourselves. Okay, so now I'm putting you out of business.
Now, Al, listen to me.
And Steve Regan gets it next.
Well, Steve's dead.
What?
After he killed Whitey Manchek, I had him meet me up in Westchester. He's there in the woods. Cops won't worry about him if they do find him. They're looking for him for the Manchek killing. Oh, don't you see, Al? It's a perfect setup now for just the two of us.
Where are the plates?
They're in my bag. Al. Al, we could get along fine. We could do great together, you and me.
Yeah, sure. You're just the kind to trust.
Oh, you can trust me, Al. You can, I
You've
promise you.
You've got half a minute to finish talking. Take my advice and make it prayers.
Al, please, for heaven's sake,
you're
don't do it.
You're gonna get what's coming to you. You're gonna get it right.
Al, just...
Don't move, Brock.
Mason.
Oh, Captain Drummond, he was going to kill me.
A rather interesting idea, don't you think,
what?
Sir?
Drummond.
The captain's non-penal name, Brock.
I told you, Brock, I was going to call on you sooner than you thought. And by the way, you've repaid me for the temporary help I supplied you. Thanks. The conversation we heard in here between you and Mrs. Regan was more than ample repayment.
Oh, yeah, well, they were lies, all of them. Everything I said, he forced me into
Mrs.
saying...
Mrs. Regan, I'm well enough acquainted with your tactics now to know just when you're lying. You may be interested to hear that I checked all flights from Cincinnati on the night you were supposed to have taken a plane here. Your name wasn't listed.
Yes, and your long-distance phone call was a very obvious ruse, to Captain Drummond. You were here all the time. You saw us enter the Maxton Hotel, and you called, first disguising your voice as a long-distance operator's, and then you spoke to me in your own natural voice. This you did to establish yourself as being hundreds of miles away from the scene of the murder. Isn't that right, sir?
Apparently it is, Denny. Mrs. Regan has nothing to say.
No, not until I see a lawyer. You can't bluff me
Mrs.
into saying...
Mrs. Regan, the best lawyer you can get will advise you to say just one simple word. Guilty. Thank you. I'll be back in a moment to tell you about next week's story. Next week, Denny and I visit the circus, only to find that glitter and color of carnival life can disappear when murder is one of the acts. I call the story Death Under the Big Top. Be sure to listen, won't you? Ooh.